Well, greetings to you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Jesus Christ, who is God over all and blessed forever. Greetings to all of you here and to those of you tuning in online with us in spirit. It's been a full weekend here at Grace Presbyterian Church, hasn't it? Many of you, like myself, are probably worn out. But that's a good thing because that means you've been serving and working hard in your service to Christ. So I just want to publicly thank you all at this time for all of those of you who helped out and served selflessly this weekend at Cy's Memorial Service and whatever you did, no matter how small it was. It's a pleasure to serve alongside of you, my friends. I wouldn't be able to preach and minister if it weren't for all of you helping out, doing other things behind the scenes for such a service to even be possible. And so thank you. I praise God for all of you and for his sustaining grace that he's strengthened me with to preach to you all this weekend. So before we come one final time to the preaching of God's word this weekend, to close up our Sabbath day, let's come before his throne of grace yet again and ask that he would speak to us from his word and minister to our hearts by his powerful grace. Let's pray it together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do again look to you to feed us with your manna from heaven. Lord, we are but beggars, and we ask that you would teach us from your word. Speak to our hearts. May we know that it is your voice speaking to us, even the voice of Christ. And so may we give diligent, may we listen to it diligently, that we might not be forgetful hearers, but that we would receive the implanted word with meekness and with faith and without doubting. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would change us, grow us, fashion us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Grow us, we pray, by your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit in abundant measure, even tonight, that we would behold you and your word, and that we would worship you and live for you as you would have us, as your people. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, congregation, at this time, I'd invite you to take up your copy of God's word and turn with me to the book of Psalms. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at the Christian discipline of reading the scriptures. And so this will be the second part of last evening's sermon, which we called Reading the Scriptures with Holy Violence. The Lord Jesus commended John the Baptist for his violent pursuit of heaven in Matthew chapter 11 in the 12th verse. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Those who seek after heaven, we learned, after heavenly glory, are those who take it with a holy violence in their hearts. This is no works-based righteousness. It is rather the grace of faith, a man or woman justified by saving faith, who then pursues God in his righteousness with a holy aspiration in all of their life, which Christ calls a taking heaven by storm. Thomas Watson thus very wittingly wrote, "The earth is inherited by the meek. Heaven is inherited by the violent." And this is what he means by that. He says, "Our life is military. Christ is our captain. The gospel is our banner. The graces are our spiritual artillery. And heaven is only taken in a forcible way." End quote. So we specifically last evening, we applied this holy violence to our personal time reading and engaging with the Word of God so that we might receive the most spiritual benefit from it. To profit spiritually from the Word of God, to unlock the treasures that God has laid up for us in it, we learn that we must seek to read them with a holy violence and godliness in our hearts. The Scriptures themselves show us how to do this. And so we utilized and drew from Thomas Watson's 24 rules and directions that he pulled directly from Scripture that show us how we are to read Scripture with the most spiritual profit. You recall that we looked at five of them. We must read the Scriptures with holy violence first by removing all things that hinder you from profiting, such as sin. Sin poisons us. love for the things of this world, covetousness, and even our wandering hearts. And then secondly, we're to read the scriptures with holy violence by preparing our hearts beforehand. Our hearts are like instruments, as we said. They need to be tuned before we pick up the Bible. And we need to corral our thoughts together and prepare to meet with God, especially since we don't always feel like it, do we? Our sinful flesh will try to steer us away from the refreshing waters of the Word. So don't come to the Word without prayer and preparation. John Flavel once said, "The person who begins not with prayer seldom winds up with comfort." Don't rush into your reading. Come with prayer, a real pouring out of your heart to God. Then you shall profit as you read His Word. And then thirdly, we're to read the scriptures with holy violence by reading every line reverently as God speaking to you. We are to be conscious of the author of scripture. God, my friends, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah, is speaking. We should therefore shut our mouths and we should listen intently and hang upon every word. The moment Joshua knew it was the Lord speaking to him in Joshua chapter 5, he immediately humbled himself and he says, "What says my Lord unto his servant?" Shall it not be the same with you and me when the Lord speaks? Come to the scriptures with a holy reverence in your soul, my friends. It's not just any old dusty book on the shelf. It shouldn't be dusty. It is the written and sacred word of God, wherein we will all be judged by it on the last great day. How dare we then come to it lightly or without a seriousness? As we've seen in Thessalonians, how you treat God's word is how you treat God himself, because the word of God bears his imprint, because each and every word, every jot and tittle was breathed out by him. And then we're to read the scriptures with a holy violence, fourthly, by seeking to understand what you are reading. How can we benefit from the word if we don't know what it means? Answer is, we won't. We cannot just know the letters and the words, but their meaning and their application. It will miss our hearts completely if we don't seek after a right understanding of them. Our eyes need to be opened. That's why I often pray Psalm 119, verse 18, before I preach, "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in your law." We can't profit from something we don't understand. It's like trying to read a manual that you don't understand. You're not going to build something properly. So therefore, we're to seek after understanding like a precious piece of gold, asking the Spirit to open up our dull eyes. And then fifthly, we're to read Scripture with a holy violence by striving to remember what we have read. Many times we don't profit from our Bible reading because we can't remember what we just read. Watson says, "Labor to remember what you read, because Satan desires to steal the word out of your mind. Not that he tends to make use of it, but lest we should make use of it." End quote. Strive then to review, to recall those truths of the word that you read earlier in the day, or last time you picked up the scriptures the night before, or what have you. And we talked about many tools about how to trigger our memories. Christ didn't have his Bible in his hand when the devil tempted him in the wilderness. But he didn't need one, because he had it so ingrained upon his heart and upon his mind, it became a part of him. He bled the Bible. Spurgeon said of John Bunyan, "If you pricked him anywhere, his blood would run bibline." And oh, that it would be so with us, congregation. But to get there, we must first drill the scriptures into our brains. But there are more directions for us to consider than just those five, if we're to read them with a holy violence, profiting from them by God's grace. But before we get into them, what I would like for us to do first is to read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 88. And yes, you heard me right, 1 through 88. Kind of warmed you up to this. We read the book of Ruth, and I believe it was only 85 verses. So I was preparing you for this. Just be grateful I didn't pick all of the psalm. We can pick that up. There's plenty more rules and directions that we can get the rest of it. So if you're using the Pew Bibles, you can find Psalm 119 on page 545. Page 545. I'll begin reading in verse 1 and I'll stop at verse 88. So hear now, congregation, the beautiful and majestic word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They also made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Amen. And thus reads the precious, holy, and divinely inspired word of God. And may he write these words on each of our hearts and upon our minds. So what are some more biblical directions for us? Many of these we can mine through some of these. How can we read our Bibles like the psalmist of Psalm 119, that we might grow daily in sanctification by them, that our words would sound like these? Well, here's a sixth direction for us to consider. And it comes from verse 15 and actually many others of Psalm 119. We must meditate on what we read. We must meditate on what we read. We've looked at this before a couple of months ago, but I can assure you it's worth looking at it again because we do so very little of it. The psalmist in verse 15 says, look at it with me, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. Meditation is where we intensely ponder the scriptures in our minds with faith. It doesn't have to be large portions. It can just be one little verse or a line or even a particular attribute of God. By reading, Watson says, we bring truths into our minds. Meditation brings it into our hearts. They must appear together. Meditation without reading is erroneous. Reading without meditation is barren. And then he quotes, I've been learning that Watson likes to look at bees, and he makes a lot of analogies from them. He says the bee sucks the flower and then works it into the hive and so turns it into honey. By reading, we suck the flower of the word by meditation. We work it into the hive of our mind, and so then we profit. End quote. That dryness, that coldness that we feel sometimes when we leave a Bible reading, our devotions, oftentimes it is our own fault because we put off meditating upon it, really chewing on it. Reading your Bibles is not a race to see who finishes fast. It's good to be the tortoise and not the hare in our Bible reading. We must read slowly, meticulously. It's okay to pause on a verse or two and meditate upon it. One verse read and meditated on is better than 100 verses read in haste without meditation. Our affections are stirred up by the word when we muse upon her spiritual and divine truths. David said this in Psalm 39, verse 3, "While I was musing, the fire burned." Musing, meditation is what set his heart aflame for God. This led Watson to say, in commenting on this verse, "The reason we come away so cold from reading the word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. We want things instantly, right? Quickly. We want our food now. We complain when it doesn't come to us. We often like fast food because we can get it faster. We don't like to sit in silence, but the Christian must not be afraid of silence. We must give ourselves to scripture meditation, and the only way we do this is by doing it little by little. Hang out a while with just one phrase. Find it and compare it with other parts of scripture. If you're struggling with living a holy life, meditate on verses that set forth God's holiness and pray that God would use them in your life to make you holy. What sin are you battling, Christian? What sin are you getting beat down by? Go to places in scripture that speak against that vice. Take a sheet of paper out, and if you have to, and write it out line by line. That will help you mortify those lusts and refer to them throughout the day. Oh, then you shall see the power of just a single verse of scripture and of spiritual meditation. How many sins could we fend off if we meditated upon scripture? If we really seriously pondered how destructive sin is and how much God hates it, then we would learn to hate it likewise. "Your word have I hid in my heart," we just read. Why? That I might not sin against you. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By looking at your word, according to your word. Don't bypass deliberate meditation, my friends. It's part of our proper utilizing of our sword, which is the sword of the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, meditate upon what you read, and you'll quickly see the benefit it shall be to you in your daily communion and walking with Christ. But not only should we give ourselves daily to meditating upon what we read, let's look at, seventhly, we must read with humble hearts. We must read with humble hearts. If we're to read with holy violence, we must come before the scriptures with a humbled heart, like spiritual beggars to God, knowing how truly unworthy we are by nature that God would be so willing to reveal himself to us, even with how sinful we are. Even now, even for those of us in Christ, how sinful we are even this very day. How this ought to humble you each and every morning. People died to get these scriptures in your hand. William Tyndale was burned at the stake putting forth his English translation, and we come to it so willy-nilly. Oh, this must not be. We should say in our hearts, "Oh Lord, what an astounding thing it is that you would draw near to me with your word. I am but an unprofitable servant. In no way do I deserve such a privilege as this. Yet nevertheless, you reveal yourself to me, your sinful creature, through your word. that you would share your infinitely wise and secret thoughts with me, with such a worm as I am, it baffles me. Therefore, I come before you humbly, O Holy One of Israel. Be weary of coming to your Bible reading with pride or with a puffed up spirit. Do you not know that it is God who opposes the proud? James 4, verse 6. But he does, my friend, give grace to who? The humble. And so it is so with our reading of the scriptures. He shall pour the grace of his word into you when you come before him with a humble and a poor spirit. What did Christ say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven in Matthew. Do you wish to receive spiritual and heavenly blessings from God in your time in the word each day? Then you must come humbly, even as Mephibosheth bowed down himself before David the king. Remember what he said, "What is your servant that you should look upon me, such a dead dog as I am?" Shall your heart not be more humbled before God, your maker and king, when you come before his royal word and looking upon his royal decrees? Watson on this point said, "God's secrets are with the humble." Pride is an enemy to your profiting. It has been said that the ground on which a peacock sits is barren. That heart where pride sits is even more barren. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David shows us the only way we are to approach God, and this certainly applies to our coming to him through his word. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. He shall revive us, friends, with his word when we have the heart of the humble. And when we are contrite, Isaiah 57, verse 15, the proud man should not expect anything from God except discipline, except judgment or hardness of heart. Therefore, leave your pride, any hint of self-righteousness, leave it at the cross. Do not take it with you in your daily Bible reading. You must bury it in the grave in repentance toward God if you see any trace of it hiding in your heart before you come to read, and even as you are reading. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord. And what is the promise to those who do so? He shall lift you up. James 4, verse 10. To profit from Scripture, we must beat ourselves down under the mighty hand of God before he will build us up by his word through his grace. Reading the word with holy violence means our hearts must come humbly if we wish to grow in grace. And finally, I want to look at one last direction this evening that will be a tremendous aid to your profiting and your time in the scriptures. We're to come meditating upon what we read. We are to come with humble hearts in our reading. But you must also come, my friends, I believe this is eighthly, with faith in the written word. With faith in the written word. This is similar to coming to the word reverently, knowing who it is who is speaking to us. But we must add to our reverence a fervent believing on each of his words. If we believe not the words of Scripture and the divine truths that they convey, we cannot and we will not profit from them. How do you know? How do I know this? Hebrews 4, verse 2 should be sufficient proof. The writer of Hebrews there says, "For unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them," meaning the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt. But then he says, "But the word did not profit them." Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. It was not mixed with faith. The only way to rightly receive the word of God into your heart is to do so by faith, believing them to be truly and purely the very word of God. We confess in the fourth question of the larger catechism that the scriptures manifest themselves to be the word of God. They are self-authenticating. by their majesty and purity, by the consent of all the parts and the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, by their light and power to convince and convert sinners, to comfort and build up believers unto salvation. Friend, the scriptures are absolutely infallible, and they are inerrantly true on their own accord, whether you believe them or not. But to gain a blessing from the Word of God, you must exercise faith yourself in each and every line you come across, wholly agreeing that it speaks the truth. What does Christ say? Your Word is truth, all of it. Watson says on this directive, if you would profit by the Word, you must believe it to be of God. The Bible is a supernatural book. Some skeptics question the verity of Scripture. They may have the articles of religion in their creed, but not in their belief. Unbelief disables the virtues of the Word and makes it abortive. Who will obey truths he does not believe? End quote. And so, friends, faith is thus the prerequisite for us in our profiting from Scripture. What did James say? The man who doubts shall not, he should not think that God will give him anything. He must come with faith. It is faith in Christ that saves our souls, and it's also faith in Christ that we come to His Word, lest we be unprofitable hearers. One said that faith is our spiritual optic. It's the most necessary grace that we must have if we are to be transformed and affected by the things of the Spirit in the Word. It's like those 3D glasses. We haven't been to movies in a long time since these places aren't open. But it's like those 3D glasses that makes the movie theater screen come to life before your eyes. Without them, everything is blurry. It's dark and it's colorless. It's dreary. Without faith, which comes by hearing the Word of God, sinners are lifeless. They're dead. They're blind to their own sin. And even we can be blind when we do not put on the optics of faith. For the unbeliever, they cannot even see the kingdom of God because they do not have faith. But when God grants faith by grace to such a sinner, God turns the lights on, if you will, and the glory of God and the things of Christ become instantly delightful to their eyes and to their newly regenerated hearts. But friends, we must continually exercise this faith in God. If you have received this gift from Him, especially in your quiet time alone with God, with open scriptures, it is a spiritually discerned book of eternal treasures, and faith unlocks its most glorious mysteries and riches. It's no wonder that the natural mind that is at enmity with God cannot understand it. They cannot embrace it. But let us remember that we ourselves must come to this book of books with faith, lest the Word pass us by completely. The Puritan John Trapp said, "It is the nature of faith to believe God upon His bare word. It will not be, says sense. It cannot be, says reasons. It both can and will be, says faith. For I have a promise for it." End quote. Oh, how all of the Christian life is one of faith. How much more reading God's word? It must be therefore so in us. Faith must be working in us as we take in the promises of God in the scriptures, for example. These great and precious doctrines, these emeralds of divine truth, can only be mined, if you will, with the shovel of faith. We must pray as the disciples did, even when we come across things that are hard for us at first. What did they say? Lord, increase our faith. Or, "I believe, Lord, this promise of yours in my current predicament. I do, but help thou my unbelief. Remove my doubting and replace it with whole trusting." When we read scripture like this, God shall surely cause us to profit from them. Friends, So let's put all these together as we seek to conclude our time in God's Word this evening. Reading the Scriptures with a holy violence involves these eight holy directives. And there's 16 more of them. But we must look at these. We've been looking at these first eight of them. Let me remind you of them. We're to remove all things that hinder you from profiting. If that's your cell phone, put it away. Second, by preparing your hearts beforehand, come with prayer, a true seeking and thirsting for God. Third, by reading every line reverently as God is speaking to you. Fourth, by seeking to understand what you're reading. Fifth, by striving to remember what you've read. And then sixthly, by meditating on what you read. Seventhly, by coming with a humble heart before God. And eighthly, and finally, by coming with faith in His written Word. These are no easy things, friends, but this is the holy violence by which we must pursue God with. If we are to take hold of Christ's heavenly blessings here and now, it's faith that brings those down. They come to us through the channel, though, of His Word. And it's only those who come to them with this holy resolve by the Spirit who shall profit from them. Are you such a person? A violent pursuer of God? I pray so for all of you and for myself, that we would put forth all of our strength and call in the help of heaven in this work, as Watson says, so that we would not miss out on a single blessing that God has given to us in His holy word, no matter what portion you are reading. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the treasure that is Your word. Lord God, I pray that each of us, as we've been considering these things, that we would come to Your word with this holy resolve to profit from them. And to do so, we must come to You with humble hearts, with our hands raised up, with much prayer and with much meditation, a wrestling with You, a really chewing on the things which You have said to us, and to by faith receive them, to receive the joy that they intend to give, the comfort, and then to apply them to our daily lives. And so, Lord God, as we've considered the words of the psalmist, Lord, would You make even our hearts pant after Your word as He did, and even as Christ did perfectly. He is our perfect example of a man who violently pursued the glory of God, His Father, and our Father through Him. And so, Lord God, we pray that these things, You would, as we do these things, that You would help us and strengthen us, that we would profit. We desire to grow. We desire to be changed. We desire to walk more in conformity to You and to Your ways. And so, Lord God, we pray that You would instill these into our minds, that You would encourage us, that we would go back to these things when we're feeling dry and cold and we're just merely reading willy-nilly. But may we slow down and remember who it is that is speaking to us, the God who saved us, the God who created all things is speaking to us. You're speaking to our hearts, and so, Lord God, may we reverently consider it for our growth and grace and for Your glory. I pray this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.